be a father. So, just real quick, just want to say how much I appreciate my father-in-law. You know, not, you know, John could say the same thing, Van could say the same thing. For John and I, our fathers are down south where it's warm and majestical, but up here we have our own jewel, and that's Dad Gibb. So we love you. So what does it mean to be a father? Being a father means showing love and not expecting anything in return. Being a father means raising your children to be respectful adults by teaching and being actively involved in their lives. A father is a role model and a hero. He's a strong shoulder to cry on. And someone to lift you up in your successes. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." God gave us... Oh, now I'm gone. Test, test. Hello. Oh, you can hear me now? Okay, so it's not that big booming God voice. All right. God gave us the ultimate teacher and father-like figure in Jesus Christ. Jesus cared for his disciples. He trained them, fed them, washed their feet, and encouraged them into who they were destined to become. Does that sound like a father to you? God has given you and I the same responsibilities of raising the next generation in the mindset that God has given them gifts, has given them talents, a place in the kingdom, and a destiny that is yet to be fulfilled. It is our responsibility. Let me hear you say our responsibility to not miss our opportunities, God-appointed opportunities. So those opportunities are special, right? Those opportunities are things that we don't want to miss, whether it's with our own children, whether it's with, you know, other kids that we're babysitting, or maybe friends of the family, but those opportunities where we can speak into their lives and we can have that impact, where we can share our testimony, we can share the love of God that he's granted to us. Recently, something really cool happened in our family. We were laying in bed, and typically a night at my house in bed is a very long occasion of rubbing backs and talking. A lot of times it's them talking because they don't want to go to bed, so they bring up every little thing that happened during the day, which is fine because we may not hear about everything that happened. My two oldest are going to the Y every other week, so they bring up, let me just tell you, tomorrow we're doing this, and we talked to this kid, and he said that, and it's just like this ongoing soap opera, I guess, at bedtime. And oftentimes I think they're just stalling, but God has slowly been bringing up to me the fact that these are those small opportunities that as a father I'm not going to have, you know, as they get older. Sorry. Thanks, God. And those are the same opportunities that you and I have. And you don't have to be a father to have those opportunities, to have those doors that open to you. Because we all know somebody that's hurting right now, right? Like, we're in this pandemic together. We're in this time where we've been isolated alone. And there's people that are hurting. There's people that are lonely. There's people that just have not felt the love of God in their lives. And it's those opportunities that we don't want to miss when things start to open up like this and we have access to the Father, and maybe they don't have access to the Father like we do. Those are the times that we're to shine, because we've been called to be little Christs, right? Christians, little Christs. And so in that time with my son Lucas, Becky's like, "Did you tell Daddy what happened?" And I was like, "Well, what happened?" I'm thinking, like, he went swimming, he was, you know, something crazy, his brother did something to him, like there's a big gnash on his head. No, he decided to give his life to Christ. Like, actually say the sinner's prayer, which was at your house? No? Okay, I got that part mixed up. But the fact of the matter is, he gave his life to Jesus. Not just a forced, "Hey, do you want to do this?" But in a talking scenario where for himself made that commitment. And couldn't help but just squeeze him, tell him how much I loved him and how excited I was for him to enter into that, you know, at 6 years old. So that was a little off my script message, but that's cool. So today's a day when we celebrate fatherhood. Amen? You don't need to be an actual father to celebrate in the day of fatherhood. Many single moms, uncles, aunts, grandparents also function as in a fatherly capacity. You know, I think about my own life and the different fatherly figures that I've had. My mentor, Kelvin, growing up, who was about 10 years older than myself, my youth pastor, my own father, my grandfather, my father-in-law, my grandfather-in-law, Pap, all these type father figures who have come beside me in some type of capacity, whether it's to be hands-on with helping with stuff. I'm not the most hands-on person. I'm a computer guy. So when it comes to the hands-on type stuff, I call my father. And so you see where I'm going with this? There's certain people that God brings into our lives at certain times of our lives to have an impact, to come beside us and teach us and to bring us up. I remember about 10 years ago not knowing if I ever really wanted to become a father, right? So Aiden's almost 10, so I say 10. Diapers, puking, spitting up, you know, sleepless nights. I had known, you know, several families that had the young kids, and I'm like, okay, maybe. I mean, I like kids, I'm good with kids, but to go through that motion, like, just didn't sound as appealing. But yes, the grandparents are still going through some of that on their side, so with the young babies being born. But so I remember that very vividly, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I really would not trade it for the world. The first time when you come face to face with those small eyes, the your heart just grows. So let's just take a second. I just want to take a second and just say thank you to the Lord for those type of people that have been inserted into our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we've all had a father type figure in our lives, Lord, at some point or another, whether it was a boss, a father, a grandparent. It didn't have to be anybody related to us, Lord, that had that impact where they spoke into our lives, that they encouraged us, that they blessed us, that they took us out, that they spent time with us to build a relationship with us, to show us how to become those little Christs. And so we just praise you for what you've done in our lives and how you've inserted those people into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to take a look at a sort of popular character in the Bible, but often overlooked because he technically wasn't he was a father, but he was a stepfather, okay? And he was Joseph, the stepfather to Jesus. So the story, let's see, if you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew 1:24, and it talks about the kind of the beginning part of Joseph's journey with Jesus, right? So Joseph was not the physical father to Jesus, but the stepfather. And I find it interesting that he was a father that decided early on that he wasn't just going to abandon his wife because it wasn't his actual son, but that he stepped up, right? Just like God was saying this morning when Pastor Kurt was talking about how he's challenging us to step up. Joseph was one who stepped up to the challenge. So Joseph first appeared in Scripture in Matthew and Luke, and it's mentioned he is the lineage of King David. How cool was it that God orchestrated that Jesus would be associated with the line of King David? The story of Joseph is interesting in the amount of strength of character he displayed. In first hearing about Mary's pregnancy, Joseph did not want to subject Mary to public criticism. After hearing from the angel who confirmed Mary's miraculous story, Joseph obediently accepted the role of surrogate father for the baby Jesus. Matthew 1:24-25 says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph saw the opportunity to have a role in his stepson's life and was obedient to accept. Joseph was a carpenter by trade, and it's widely believed that he taught his son the trade and the lessons that came along with it. It's implied that Joseph made certain of good spiritual training for the children in his family. Joseph proved his integrity and willingness to be obedient to God's direction and guidance. So even though he was a stepfather, he still had that impact where he brought the integrity, he brought the characteristics of a father, the direction. So we don't have to be that action. We don't have to be, of course, if we are the father, we're supposed to be like Jesus and have these type of characteristics. But we don't have to be an actual father in order to exhibit that. Joseph was a protector. In the return to Nazareth, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child, Jesus, and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Joseph recognized his call to fatherhood and his destiny to be the protector of God's gift to all mankind. Aren't you glad that he recognized that? Because if he didn't, the story may have been completely different. He was the protector. He was the one who watched over Jesus as he grew. He was the one who took care of Mary, kept the family together, even though he was the stepfather. So be vigilant to be ready for opportunities to pour into others' lives. What does it mean to be vigilant? It means to be ready. It means to be idle. It means to be aware. We need to be aware. I had an Elam professor, his name is Brother Paul Edwards, and he once said something as simple as, "God gave you a mouth, use it for his glory." Gave you a mouth, use it for his glory. Give some of your time, become a role model for Christ. Give some of your time. Time is valuable. It seems like now we seem to have a little bit more time than usual, right? I kind of feel that way. For some of us, we've been stuck at home working. There hasn't been a whole lot of activities to go to, things to do. We've tried to keep busy, right? At home and with that kind of thing. This seems to be such an ideal time to be ready to give some of our time, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think? Yes? Amen? You would be amazed how much of an impact you can have on someone who is hurting inside, lonely, and willing to receive what God wants to say to them. So I think back to my childhood, and the most special moments I can recall are the ones just hanging out with my dad. Just hanging out. I grew up, we got saved. My mom had gotten saved and led us boys through the sinner's prayer, led my dad through the sinner's prayer. But my dad has always been kind of quiet on the side, more of a tools kind of guy, manly man, like always says, "I love you," though. Always says, "I love you." I walked into work one time and I was on the phone with my dad and we were talking and I was like, all right, yeah, I'll talk to you later. All right, love you too. All right, bye. And my coworker's like, "How's your wife doing?" And I was like, "No, that's my dad." And he's like, "You tell your dad you love him?" I'm like, "Doesn't everybody?" I'm like, "Apparently not." And so then I mentioned, my dad doesn't live here, and that's just the relationship we've always had, is I don't know when I'm going to see him again. Why would I not say I love you? Because that's how I feel. So I kind of think back to just those small moments. My mom was the kind of more of the spiritual head because she had gotten saved, and my dad was just kind of building up his belief, and so she kind of had more of that spiritual impact on me early on in my life, but my dad had the type of impact where he showed me how to be a man. He showed me how to be a guy, what it looks like to be a father, and still does. There was times when he would take us sledding, and he would go out in the woods, and he would cut down like these old pieces of tree, like just like these large logs, and he would line them up, and then he and another guy would, friend of the family would kind of dig this trench, and they made this long like pathway where that was like on an incline, so we could all go sledding at the same time. It was things like that that really made an impact on me. So I have a couple pictures, and now that I'm an adult, you know, I see things differently than I did when I was a kid. Amen? Same thing, right? For you, those of you who are adults. So last year, this is my dad. His name's Paul. And if you can see in the background there, that is the port in Baltimore, Maryland. So we're 49ers fans, he and I. And so my mom, for I think it was his birthday, something like that, had this idea of like, hey, would you want to take him to his first NFL game, right? I had gone previously to my first game months prior to a Redskins game where the Niners were playing, and I was jumping at the chance, like, yeah, I want to go to another game, sure. And then I started thinking, I'm going to go with my dad, who loves the same team as I. We have never gone to a football game before. And to some, that might seem kind of trivial, like, oh, okay, so you're going to go to a game with your dad. But that's something that I had never experienced before. And so this is us at the port, and just kind of showing him around. And it was raining. It wasn't the most perfect day. It was we had bags. It looked like we were wearing trash bags that my mother had bought us because she knew that the weather was going to be terrible. And so we walked a little bit around the city that way. And I have one more picture of us at the stadium. And it's those kind of opportunities and those kind of moments that make an impact, right? Those small things, right? And I think about, you know, as my kids get older, how cool it's going to be when I get to take them to a game and sit there and sit side by side and enjoy the moment together and then have that car ride, talk about what just happened, and just be in the moment relationally with one another. And I think about how that is with God and how when we don't have that close-knit relationship with him and we're apart, that we don't have those same God-given opportunities come our way. When we're in sync with God, we can see those opportunities and we can walk forward and step into those opportunities. Amen? So our team lost all of also. But it was a fun game to watch. It was a great game to watch, and it was great being able to have him. He's in Georgia, so he flew up, and we stayed in a hotel. And so for me, that was huge. That was an impact for me. We experienced it together. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, and on your gates." So it's a practical sense of, says, I give you the, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. So it's talking about just communicating, being with one another, when you lie down and when you get up. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." The Father loves unconditionally. We're to love unconditionally. Luke 15:20-24 says, "So he got up and went to his father." Now this is the story of the prodigal son. A snippet. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." God's heart, much like this father, is for his children to experience life together. He wants us to experience life with him. A close relationship where there's no condemnation, no fear, no only love, but we don't want to miss the opportunities that he gives us. Don't miss your opportunity to receive his love, his grace, his peace. He is a good father, is he not? He is a good, good father. And he's gonna give us those opportunities. How good is he today? How good is he? You know, our country is going through changes, right? Going through changes politically with some of the riots and how people are viewed. But this was never a surprise to God, right? Never a surprise to God. God was never unaware of what's happening. Even though we're separated to a degree, he still wants us to commune together, right? Which is the coolest part about being part of a church family. And so he's still calling us together as a church family. And he's wanting us to have those opportunities to step into the things that he's called us to do. The opportunities to spend time with one another, spend time with those who may not be saved, who may be hurting. And I think we have to be vigilant to identify when those opportunities come up. And so one thing that I would say this morning is that God wants us to make sure that our eyes are wide open so that we don't miss those opportunities as the weeks continue, as the summer progresses. Because once those go past us and they fly by, you don't want to be looking back. You don't want to be looking back saying, I wish I would have said something. I wish I would have done something. You know, and I think about my own children and how they're growing and spending time with them. I don't want to look back and say, man, I wish I would have done this or that with them when I was too busy focusing on something totally different down the line. And as men and women of God, you know, it doesn't matter if we are the physical father or not. Seize those opportunities. Carpe diem. Seize the day, right? Seize those opportunities that he's going to put before you, because one day you're not going to have those opportunities to seize, and you're not going to be able to speak into somebody's life. One of the cool things about Tuesdays is Steve gets to spend time with my boys. And, you know, we're only here for a designated time, season, right? And those opportunities, my boys aren't going to have with Steve forever. And so those are the kind of things that we need to align ourselves up with God so that we don't miss those opportunities.